I was working for her, of her own. I did for better or worse. And one of the times I mentioned like her former assistant, a guy named John Rizzo, who had, you know, passed away at the time. And I mentioned, I wasn't quite sure she would remember at all, because I mean, how many times has she flown around and done all these things? But I let her know that I had done that, and I think she remembered, or she convinced me that she remembered, but it was really, really cool.
Can you believe that not only did he have a show on the OWN network, he had to remind Oprah at one point in her life and in his, he was her security before being an actor on a show on our network. Insane! You're going to enjoy this interview with Michael Jai White.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's the greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion that carry champions to be a champion. A champion that carry champion, that girl, you did it. Got a champion that carry champion, that carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
He Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a new edition of Naked. I appreciate you all for supporting us. It really means a lot. I'm excited about today's guest. He is an actor. He is a writer. He is a director. He's also very, very funny. And I don't know if his comedic sensibilities are actually honored in his films. You'll see it, such as Black Dynamite. You've seen him in Why Did I Get Married? Why Did I Get Married 2? He played a mob boss in The Dark Knight, which is, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the highest grossing films of all time. He is known for his martial arts ability. Do you know anybody who has about 8 different styles of martial arts in which he holds a black belt in 8 different styles of martial arts? So it's like 8 different black belts. Like, it's a lot. I'm saying it so that it makes sense. And I'm also saying it because he can actually beat you down. So be careful. But he is a sweetheart. I really appreciate him coming on the show. I'm super excited to have Michael Jai White on the podcast today. He's a man with immense talent, not just in martial arts, but as mentioned, acting, writing, producing, and directing. He has a new film that is out. He is giving us the content that we need, especially during the strike. I don't know about you. I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and looking and looking. I'm pulling up repeats. And now we have Outlaw Johnny Black. You need it. It's the content that you needed, but you didn't know you needed. Today on the podcast, we get into his interest in being a kid who loved martial arts. Why? That's his why. We talk about how he was a teacher before he began acting, because he considers himself a swift army knife, if you will, right? He can do a lot of different things. He can live in a lot of different worlds. He's a jack of all trades. And then he goes from being a teacher to an actor. But really, his first major role was an off-Broadway play of To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, how is that your first major acting gig? Impressive. And from there on, or rather from then on, he decided to really take this industry and use it for what he could use it for, but make it his own. And I think it's really smart. He talks about how there are very limited roles for black men, handsome black men. And so he had to find his way and build his fan base overseas and here. And he's doing really well. I appreciate this latest venture because what you'll see is that he's been able to find the best of the best in terms of actors and actresses who are not necessarily considered Hollywood's finest because that's Hollywood's standards, and he's highlighting their talent. Tony Baker, a comedian friend of mine, is in it. Anika Noni Rose, our black princess. So many wonderful actors are in this film. And so I hope that you listen to this interview, but more importantly, you go out and support, because I feel as if we don't do that enough, especially within the culture. Spread the word, tell your friends at work. It's for everybody, not just for black folks. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of Naked. Michael, the last time we saw each other was in Africa. Do you remember we went to Ghana on the trip together that Bozema put together? Do you remember I was on that trip and I was harassing you and your beautiful wife?
Well, I don't remember that.
See, you don't remember I was there harassing you. Seeing that crazy? What a small world.
Good to see you again.
Like, yeah, you're like, hey, good to see you. I don't know you. Don't you worry. I don't take it personal. I literally had the same thing happen to me when I was in Martha's Vineyard a couple of weeks ago. Somebody was like, oh my God, it was so good. I came on your show. And I was like, it was so good. In my mind, I'm like, I don't remember this person. So I understand.
Right.
It's the look. We give up a different look. We give different looks all the time. Well, first off, congratulations on Outlaw Johnny Black. I have been seeing so much promotion for this, but you know who I see it the most from, because I follow this one particular actor. I should follow you now on the gram, Tony Baker.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that guy has been unsung for a long time. That's what I did with this movie. I just got the best of the best people who where you sit there and you go, how come they're not like huge?
Mm-hmm.
And so that, like, everybody in this film is of that ilk.
Yeah. Well, let's just go back to the genesis of it all. I normally start just getting into childhood and who people are. And you've had such a a great career in terms of everyone knows you, I think, culturally especially. And you have such a unique brand, as the people use the word brand. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about a few things. I don't know anyone who has 8 black belts in various forms of martial arts, let alone, you know, just one. I don't know anyone, actually. So if you could, just from the genesis of your story, tell me how your love of martial arts began in terms of being a child, because I believe that sets you apart from so many people.
Well, yeah, I'm very fortunate to have focused in martial arts, and that was my outlet growing up, and I so needed one. I was an insecure kid, and a lot of people who go into martial arts are from that background. They for me, it was about building armor. I didn't know I was this artist in the hood, you know, but things affected me deeper than they would my brother, who was a natural engineer. Things just rolled off his back. But for me, it was different. And so I had to put a lot of energy into other things, you know, creative things. And martial arts became something that I'm glad I focused on.
I'm glad you did too, because I feel like when you got this acting bug, because there were things before acting, but when you became an actor, I feel that's what set you apart. That was a skill set that a lot of people just didn't have. But I'm reading up on you, and I'm learning so many fascinating things about prior to acting, how you were teaching. You were a teacher, a special ed teacher, from my understanding. You had one time in your career, was Oprah's personal security for an event, perhaps. I'm really curious about how all of that comes together in the world in which we see you today, and being a writer, director, producing, starring in Outlaw Johnny Black. I mean, just think about all the different lives I've mentioned that you've been able to have. And have you always had that interest? Have you been like, let me just try it until it works?
Well, yeah, this is really who I am. I remember when I had a 16th birthday party, and I invited all my friends, and then it was almost a riot in the party, because I was part of so many different warring factions that didn't get along together. And so that's the first inkling that, what am I, strange? But I was part of the jock crew. I was part of the thug crew. I was part of the nerd crew, mm-hmm. and the artistic crew all at the same time, where the pockets are like, what the hell does he have in common with those people? but so that's been me my entire life. A comedian joked one time, he called me Denzel Van Schwartzenhart.
I love it, because it's accurate.
That's how the audience reacted.
It's accurate.
Yeah, so, you know, it was insightful, but I'm like, yeah, it's confusing to other people, because they're used to people kind of fitting on one shelf. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, throughout my life, I have it. And I've been difficult to describe to other friends. And, you know, and one misconception is everybody thinks I'm this whirling dervish of anger and ferocity. I mean, I started that way, but I'm not. But like, people are scared of me, because probably because I have this male RBF.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, yeah, I guess.
But that's
yeah.
me relaxed, right?
Yeah,
so people
yeah.
think I'm about to kill them.
Yeah.
But ask me what I'm thinking about.
All the work you have to do. What are you thinking about?
This right here is kittens playing with yarn.
Okay. Kittens
but
playing
with
yarn.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's just like, so people tend to be frightened, but I'm like a goofball.
Yeah.
So I get a chance to write a movie that and do things that I'm kind of made for.
You have, as mentioned, I said you were a teacher. I am really curious, the life before acting. You were obviously built and had the physique and the look of an actor, But here you are, a teacher. How did your students respond to you and their parents?
Well, I mean, I was a special ed teacher. So I had, you know, rough kids, kids who were like me. I've been on my own since I was 14. And I, you know, if not for the outlet of martial arts, I would have been in a, I don't think I'd be here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so of course, I'm still that walking dichotomy. For the students, they're like, what is that? That's not what teachers normally look like. And so I just would, I'm confusing to all like type of folk. But deep down, that's my natural inkling. And as a director, am I not a teacher? As a writer, am I not a teacher? And so all those sides just converge, you know? And I'm doing what I really feel I was born to do now as all that other stuff.
I feel like you're right. It's all in the same world. You're teaching just a different audience. You know, I absolutely believe there is a common denominator, if not a thread, that you can weave through all the different things you've done in your career. I am very, very curious though. Have you talked to Oprah after you worked as security for her? Have you talked to Oprah as the actor and star you are? Like, hey, Oprah, do you remember that time?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever tell me about that conversation? I'm really curious because I always believe that it's interesting when people see you in a different space than what they actually know you as, or maybe perhaps she didn't remember. But I'm really curious about how.
Oh no, I didn't expect her to remember that at all. Because you know, I was working for her, of her own. I did, for better or worse, it was an own television show.
Uh-huh.
And one of the times I mentioned, like, her former assistant, a guy named John Rizzo, who had, you know, passed away at the time. And I mentioned, I wasn't quite sure she would remember at all because, I mean, how many times has she flown around and
of course
done all these things? But I let her know that, you know, I had done that, and I think she remembered, or she convinced me that she remembered. But yeah, it was really, really cool. so she basically was like, yeah, of course. Like, you know, like kind of very similar to when
you just did to me. Yeah, like, do you remember we were all in Ghana together and had that beautiful spiritual experience? We went to Cape Coast and we talked about the, yeah, you're like, nope. Can't say that I do.
But there was 80 of us, right?
There was a bazillion of us. I'm totally fine with that. I don't take it. I'm not even taking it personal. Not at all. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And plus, you look at it, being married, you look at another attractive woman.
You're not allowed.
1,001. 1,000. That's it. So that's, you learn to do that.
Correct. You're correct. Yeah. I I'm speaking about my significant other. I look at my man, I'm all like, don't be staring too long. You can stare, but don't be staring too long. You don't get your feelings
See?
Hurt. Don't
See?
Get your feelings hurt today in front of me.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. With that,
you get accustomed to just keep your neck stiff.
You're just like, just say, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you star. Okay. I don't know how this happens. How do we get the bug? How do we go from special ed to acting? Because the biography that I have is that you landed the lead in an off-Broadway play. And from there, you quit your job as a teacher.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you don't just stumble into a lead. You obviously had did some work prior to that. And I wonder what that was.
Not really. I did stumble into a lead, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I auditioned and, you know, as.
Why? Why did you audition?
Oh, I was interested in it.
Okay.
My time off from teaching, I would go out for commercials and you know, for, you know, the vacations and the summers or whatever. I'd pursue the acting stuff. And while I was teaching, it was the first adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird on stage because it was a book and then it was a movie. It had never gone to stage. So this is the first time and it was a big deal. It was starring two Tony Award winners, George Grizzard and Catherine Hooten, who's Catherine Hepburn's niece.
Mm.
And so it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually it was a big deal and all these seasoned actors on there. They pick from a pool of very strong actors, Broadway actors. And so, if things were against me, the challenge, but I outshined some seasoned actors to get that role. And incidentally, there was a very seasoned actor who was Samuel L. Jackson's understudy.
We have time.
For
go
years.
Ahead. Who might it be?
Who was my understudy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Leonard Thomas was my mm-hmm. understudy. And he's famous for, he was in several Spike Lee movies. And so that, I thought that was an accomplishment. I've got this guy from Spike Lee movies as my understudy.
Yes.
That I arrived.
Yes. All of this is amazing. These are the stories that I love. I love I stumbled into it, but I don't ever believe in stumbling into it. Your curiosity was put on you for a reason, right? That thought that perhaps maybe was given to your spirit for some reason. And I'm curious about that reason. Was it people around you would look at you and say, you should be in movies? You could be Jean-Claude Van Damme. You could be Arnold Schwarzenegger. You could be the black, whatever. Would people just solicit unsolicited information telling you, hey, guess what? You should be doing this. And is that how you got curious?
No, actually. First off, when I would recount stories to my friends sometimes would say, man, you just became that person. And I didn't realize I would do it. I had this natural ability to emulate people. But what's interesting, as a kind of a leading black actor type, people would naturally say that, right? They say, hey man, you should be acting. But what's weird is you don't really see attractive leading black actors work very much.
Mm. Let me think.
And because I had to walk this road, it was an interesting thing. At most of people of my group that you could play were maybe so-and-so's boyfriend from The Cosby Show, the one of the Khadijah's date on, these things that,
Living Single, I think that might have been, was that Living Single? Okay.
I found out that there were not a lot of roles for leading looking black men, other than very specific roles. It's kind of like it worked against you because what were cast were character types. If you looked more character or very stereotypical, you worked a lot.
Yeah.
And the guys like myself, we were always in this weird pool.
Mm-hmm.
But never considered the leads. And so if you were white and you had that alpha male characteristics, well, there is a role for white alpha male in every single thing.
Absolutely.
But you think about it, for black men, alpha male roles.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You weren't allowed to be.
You were somebody's date, and that's
yeah.
Or you were a love interest in a music video.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I could name you so many people in my group that you don't know who they are. But you go, if I say Silk Gozar, oh, oh, you mean so-and-so's boyfriend and...
Oh, I see.
Or do I just keep going?
I see what you're
Jeffrey
saying.
Jeffrey Dean Sams. You go, wait. Wasn't it, you know, there's so many. So many that you go, wow, it's like Richard Whiting and there's so many. And it's weird because still to this day, how many alpha male black men do you see as a lead in anything?
Let me think. There's always one or two, right? Even now, right? They give you one or two. Michael B. Right. Jordan, maybe, right?
He's a younger guy, you know.
Okay,
but I'm saying that still qualifies for the one or two.
Yeah, there's not that many.
When I say, if you look at every television show, every movie, there's the white.
Yeah, that's right.
So
well, back in the day, though, I feel like, and this is why I love the project you're working on. Back in the day, I felt like there were more black films made.
Oh yeah.
Where like a Morris Chestnut was the lead or a Taye Diggs, if you will, when they, you know, those types of projects. But if you are thinking when they were specifically for the culture, which I love and that's what I wanted. But if you're saying mainstream Hollywood, they're going for, I had this conversation with Josh Duhamel. This is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around the time when George Floyd died and he didn't like a comment that I had made about the culture. And I understand that people are offended. And I was like, I said, you don't even understand your privilege. I was like, you could be an average actor and still star in a blockbuster or still star in what people want to be back then when people were going to the movies. That's a privilege. There are so many more black male actors who could actually do what you're doing, but they haven't been when you think of a superhero who's working on a film as being a superhero, I was like, they're not looking for a Michael Jai White for you to be the Captain America, because he was playing Captain America in this series. I was like, they're not going to call you up and say, we've got this great role. Not now. I mean, maybe now things have changed since Black Panther, but it's just rare. So I do understand what you're saying. And I wonder, does that frustrate you to this day? I know that you've been able to figure it out and do your own thing, but is it frustrating?
It was frustrating. I mean, I've had things said to me that you'd be shocked at, but I didn't let it stop me. I mean, I was told by, like, especially there was a time when a lot of martial art movies were
a big deal.
Really big deal. And I would be called into studio heads who wanted me to be active and, they wanted to elicit my help in finding, and I was told, the white me.
No, thank you.
I swear on everything.
Oh my God. Right? I would have been furious. How incredibly frustrating.
Seriously. I mean, that's happened because in this business, you know, not many places are allowed to say, no, we're going black here or we're going white here. This was an industry that even my manager is fine with that talk because you kind of, it's part of
the whole thing. Oh, yeah, they're looking for a black. They're looking for a white. Yeah.
So
mine too.
so that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember, you know, one executive saying, man, you could be as big as Tom Cruise. Too bad you're black. I swear. And I was like, So if I let that stop me, shame on me. Mm-hmm. He exposed to me a certain mindset that I had to understand and navigate around because he wasn't aware of how ignorant that sounded and how the fact that action is global, whether you're black, white, or anything.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Lee.
Jackie Chan. Go down the list.
Had to go back to China and became a superstar because even roles that he created, he wasn't allowed to do. David Carradine starred in the series that he created. You see what I'm saying? So it's not a new thing. It's the way that they think.
Of course.
Yeah, and so if they want to believe that, oh, black movies are black doesn't sell overseas, that's their thought. But it's like, but black action is sold and the Black culture is sold overseas like nothing else. But if you, but everybody wants to, they want an excuse to do what's in their heart anyway.
That's it. That's it. That's it. There it is. This is what they want. Like if they really want it, yeah, that's it. You're right.
Yeah. And if I responded to a TV series that in the description of it, it said, we want a Michael Jai White type.
Well, here I am.
When I responded to it, and remember, other actors were like, what are we doing here? They described you in the description. But then they opted for somebody who was a lot less, someone was a little bit more docile mm-hmm. when it came down to it.
Sure.
Yeah, or
we want a Michael Jai White light, like, you know, yeah, but yeah. Not so heavy. We want to take it. We want to take it medium. We don't want it to full. Yeah. We don't want the full.
I mean, it's a learning thing, but I can talk about it because I've navigated around it, and
you've done it successfully. But, you know, so
I built my fan base, which is 60% overseas.
Hey, everybody, we got to take a quick break. Pay the bills. I encourage you to listen. To the commercials if you choose, right? Because you can find out what's happening with us here at The Black Effect. Or you can press 15, 15, 15. Whatever you feel. Back in a moment.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with...
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. And girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked with
Michael Jai White, still with us on today's edition of Naked. And he's really funny. It's a dry sense of humor, but you guys, I hope you're listening and laughing with me because I'm cackling. Hope you enjoy. I'm very curious too, and thank you for saying that, how you've been able to build your fan base, and 60% is overseas, and that's how you make your living. I'm going down, or not necessarily make your living, but that's how you've been able to overcome what Hollywood has said you couldn't do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some of the cult classics. And most recently, in 2008, White premiered his first blaxploitation film. Do you like it being referred to as that? Black Dynamite at Sundance. Do you like that? Do you like that terminology?
Because I understand the ignorance of using that term.
How do you feel about that terminology?
It's unfortunate because movies like Shaft and just amazing movies that existed before the term even exists.
I agree.
It bridled with this exploitation term. It's just like, it just paints a negative picture on movies that were, I consider Black Renaissance movies. I mean, you talk about like even the movies that Sidney Poitier produced and directed.
Yeah.
People might call blaxploitation. It's just nothing of the sort. So, but I understand how people's limitation of talking about 70s movie. I kind of carefully say that blaxploitation era.
You say that. Is that how you refer to it?
Yeah, there's a blaxploitation era, but sometimes I have to use it just to get the, you know, with one word to just get something across. Because in other people's minds, they may not think of the exploitive quotient of that, but I kind of get what they're talking about. But no, I have a love-hate relationship with that word.
How did you feel about Black Dynamite?
I kind of really liked it that I wrote it.
Did you like its reception? How did you feel about it was received? How did you feel about how you were able to portray yourself and what you wanted people to understand about the culture?
I created a layered piece, and it uplifted a great deal of people, and it made everyone laugh. But on a lot of levels, you start going, wait a second. Did you create a character that ended up beating up the president and slapping the first lady? And then we all laughed about it, you know? So like, well, yes, I did. You know? So
I mean, but, yeah. I mean,
it's parody, it's comedy. I played a role that was badass but goofy. And it's just something that's, you know, it's nothing quite like it. And I celebrated a time that I loved where, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of like a pendulum swinging, like that kept swinging.
But it's your art. It's your art, Michael. It's your art. It's your mind. It's your creation. It's what you've been sent here to give us. And it's okay to share whatever your heart says to share, whatever your spirit says to share. I love that. I'm a fan of artists. And because we all are our own arts, right? We are our own artists in our own way. I think that I do still see you, and you've been able to live in other worlds in films. Like, Why Did I Get Married? And Why Did I Get Married Too? I did not like you. I was mad at you. You did such a great job. I didn't like your character.
Me?
Yeah, because Marcus Williams had an STD.
Oh, in the first.
Yeah, and he gave it to his wife.
No.
Who did he give it to? How did she find out? How did she find out? I thought you weren't married to...
Oh, married. She gave it to me.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you gave it to her because you were cheating.
No, check to do.
I need to go back and watch the film.
No,
wait,
you remember.
Were you cheating? Wait a second. Were you cheating?
I guess we both were.
You know what?
But when it comes to...
I just called you Marcus. You know what?
Well, when it came down to it, who admitted who had the STD?
You're right. Plot twist.
Pretty much, I rest my case.
You okay? Plot twist. So you know what? So we're acting like this is real life because I just called you Marcus. You're like, well, she did it. She was cheating too. This is a real conversation.
Well, the STD thing is what you mentioned.
You're not right. Okay, then you did it. The Dark Knight, Mob Boss. I'm just going down a list of films that people are familiar with. You guys go back and watch Why Did I Get Married? God, bang, it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm. You just want to be mad.
See, I just ready to be mad at you. I'm ready to jump on the black girl's side. Yeah, she was the one.
What did we say just like 5 minutes ago? People want an excuse to do what they
be mad. Could. I was mad at you. I was mad at your character. I'm still mad at
Richard.
Mister. Don't. I'm still mad at Mister from Color Purple. He did nothing wrong. I'm still mad at Mister from the Color Purple.
Okay.
I'd be still mad for no reason because it was acting. Okay. Wait. I digress. Yeah. Because this is funny. That's so funny. Then you have here you are. We're promoting Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yeah.
And I mentioned at the top of this interview that a good friend of mine is in it. And you described him as one of those. Why hasn't he? Shoulda, coulda. You filled the film with people like that. So you produced it, you directed in it, you wrote it, and you starred in it. Are you tired?
No. I couldn't cook, so I didn't do the catering. My thing is, whatever I do, I'm going to put all my effort into it.
I'm disappointed you didn't do the catering. That's so disappointing.
Well, you'd be more disappointed if
you did do it. Okay. Tell me about Outlaw Johnny Black, your North Star, your inspiration, if you will, for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started with getting the best cast I could. And I casted amazing, exceptional human beings who happened to be actors, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
People like Tony Baker, people like Nika Noni Rose, Eric Ash, Glenn Turman, Chris Browning. It's everybody. Everybody was so amazing in his cast, and reconnecting with Byron Menz, who co-starred with me in Black Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you got people like that, you're in good, a good place.
And, so your character, you're out to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, avenge your father's death, and you're also a preacher.
Well, I'm posing
as a preacher.
Yes, I'm posing as a preacher to elude the authorities who are on my case. And then hilarity ensues after that.
But the humor in posing as a preacher just in itself, especially in a Black church, is hilarious in so many ways, right? Because there's so much there that you can run with, because we can say what we want to say. But there, I feel like I can make fun of preachers and say, well, he might be a crook, or I feel like he's pretty much a character. Do we believe him? Is he a shyster? All of the things. Do you find that sometimes when you are writing or creating these projects, you draw from real life examples?
Oh, always. Always.
Who's the preacher? Was it your preacher? Did you know this preacher?
Reverend Therington, it was my preacher, my reverend, growing up. And I use his name. Russell Temple AME Church in Bridgeport, Connecticut, on Connecticut Avenue, two doors away from where I lived. He was training me to be a preacher. he had a basement where he had a pulpit and everything else, and he would rehearse his sermons, and I would watch him.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be there rehearsing with. I mean, it was just like that, and so I use a lot of my everything that I wrote in there. There's significance. Yes. I used my mom's name. I used everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Even the guy who owned the town, Sheely, growing up in Columbia, Leesville and Batesburg, South Carolina. Uh-huh. But a lot of the landowners were named Sheely. There's a lot of little Easter eggs and stuff that I have in there.
I appreciate that. It's something good to know. Good note when they watch the film. I must, because there aren't that many people, and I don't know, you help me with this, that many people promoting, because obviously there's a strike, but you, I believe, had mentioned on an interview you did recently that you had special permission to promote this from SAG. Is that so? How's that work? Talk to me about that and the strike overall.
You have to qualify for an interim agreement. So that means you're in line with all the new rules, you know? And also, I mean, the fact is we qualify because we are indeed a independent film.
Okay.
Yeah. I use my independent money to start this film. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. To what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
How do you feel about, or can you tell me your thoughts on what's going on with the strike? I've interviewed a few actors and writers on the podcast and on my TV show who were just like, it is what it is. Prior to it even happening, it is what it is. How would you describe the circumstances for someone who is not an actor? Why are we at an impasse? Obviously, you want money, but what's the foundation behind this?
Well, I was describing to people who are not actors is that, I mean, you want to be paid for your work. Been paid for our work for a very long time and had residuals, which is only fair. Now studios are getting paid from the streaming services. They just pay the producers, but those people are not sharing in the proceeds. You know, all of the work that's done by all of these people who live from paycheck to paycheck now can't even make a living because, whereas before it was tracked. When you sold HBO or you came on television, you would receive part of it, you know? And, so it's terrible. That people are benefiting off of your blood. You know?
It's not tracked on streaming services now. Like, if I watch Black Dynamite 10 times, it's not tracked. You wouldn't know it.
You know, it's tracked, but that information is only given to the streaming service itself.
Which is why they don't have to pay you accordingly? Is that how that works?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you getting any residual from the streaming service?
Pennies.
Okay.
But, or nothing. So it's pretty sad. And then this AI stuff is insane.
Insane. And can you explain that briefly? Like the AI, they're actually using your name, image, and likeness. Let's go college sports here to create what they need to create without your, not you per se, but I'm just saying without the actor's consent. Is that what you're having experiencing now?
They're saying they want to take your image and be able to use it as many times as they want. That's like literally like they own you. That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody uses my image against my will, I should have the right to sue that person.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you see this being resolved if you could forecast?
Well, I mean, I think a lot more films like mine are going to be made, things outside of that system. Independently. And I think once it trickles in to the moviegoer and the public at large, when they realize what's being done to their fellow Americans and they really empathize, I think things will change.
Yeah.
I don't see if the average person knows that these services are just, you know, just screwing people and benefiting from their hard work. I can't see how, especially in this society that's, tried to correct a lot of things. They don't want to be on the wrong side of this. And they very well might be once more and more people learn about it.
Yeah, once the public is educated, once we really understand what's happening in real time, and I don't know when that moment will happen, but I do believe it's unfair. And because do the studios have any pressure to cave? Is there any incentive for them to say, you know what, we should meet them halfway? We should be giving them something. There should be some benefit for them.
Yeah, see, but the thing is, it's the stock. It's the shareholders.
They want their money.
There's studios who really want to work, you know, work at it, but shareholders are in it for only monetary gain.
Sure.
So they're not, they're not artists, but they're going to be affected as well. Studios are missing out on a lot, but they have content that can sustain them for a while.
Just a bit, not too much.
Yeah, that's gonna run out.
Yeah, it's not anything good to watch. I'm surfing, except for Outlaw Johnny Black. I'm surfing and surfing. Thank God, or something.
Well, yeah, we're doing something about it, you know. I feel like it's a great time for us to come out because, you know, in this divisive world right now, mm-hmm. to get together and laugh. Mm-hmm. And really kind of, I mean, I'm talking about it. This is a story of like redemption and forgiveness and moving on. And it takes things like, I kind of crafted this after Black Wall Street, a town that was founded by freed Black people that were coming into their prominence before, outside terror forces came in to destroy their towns. And there were like over 100 atrocities like this in the United States. And so we're well aware of the horrors of the past, but I dare present a way that we can put it and put that in the past and move ahead and obtain our prosperous future.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful, Michael. Beautiful. I have taken far too much of your time. You have entertained me. I have been tickled and educated. Thank you very much. I really do. And by the way, why wouldn't I be? Because that's what you do. So I appreciate it. I want to say two things. I want to apologize to Marcus for judging him. It's the first thing. So I'm sorry, Marcus. And I want to say thank you to Michael, because you are such a pleasure and a delight. I'm not even offended. You don't even remember me. We spent 15 days together straight in Africa. You're like, I don't remember you, young lady. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, I don't know now.
Okay, I'm like, remember when we was in Ghana, in the motherland? Do you remember?
Yeah,
well,
yeah, I sound kind of bad when you put it that way.
Yeah, in the motherland with the people.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. You're funny and a pleasure. Please, everybody, go out and support Outlaw Johnny Black. You're a treasure to the culture and really, really a genius. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As we close out the podcast, again, I want to give Michael Jai White thanks. Huge congratulations on this latest project. He is a treasure and he should be appreciated for what he's doing. But I also want everyone to understand what he was talking about with the writer's strike and the actors. The streaming services are not paying people for the work that they are doing. It's only right to pay someone if you're going to use their name, image, and likeness. It's the same battle that is happening in sports. I'll bring it back to my world. These student athletes have been making billions of dollars for universities in the NCAA for years and years and years since its inception. And finally, someone said enough is enough. You have to pay these kids for what they're doing. They're amateur athletes and they need to be paid as such. And essentially, that's what's happening with these actors and these writers. They're not being paid for the work that they are doing. And they're not being paid, but the shareholders are profiting. These studios are making money. And they deserve their money. They deserve their residuals. They deserve to be compensated for their likeness. And so we stand firm with those who are picketing and protesting. And hopefully we can get this resolved in a way that is kind and decent. In the meantime, in between time, we appreciate you for listening to the podcast. We will be back next week. Have a good one, everyone.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.